This podcast is intended for adult audiences only, and listener discretion is advised as we explore mature topics with a sex-positive and open-minded approach. So remember, the opinions expressed are personal and not professional. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Pineapple Express Podcast, your weekly dose of sex-positive vibes and open-minded conversations about swinging, sex work, and non-monogamy. Join us as we delve into the world of modern swingers, exploring relationships, pleasure, and empowerment. Each week, we will tackle controversial, sex-positive topics through the lens of a millennial swinger. Get ready to embrace the steamy and sensational journey ahead and ride along with us on the Pineapple Express. Welcome, Pineapple Expressers. I hope you're living your best upside-down pineapple life, and I hope you're ready for an amazing podcast today because I have Noah Elon, and Noah is the CEO of the Plura Community app, which was formerly known as the Bloom Community app, and I am so grateful to be networked with her. I think she's an amazing human, and I'm so glad to have this discussion with her because it's very powerful and very impactful. And I think it's really cool to hear different people's experiences within the non-monogamous community. And, you know, Noah, she's been building communities for as long as she could convince her parents to print out summer camp invitations in their office Xerox machine. And prior to Plura, Noah helped grow some of the biggest brands in the world, including Lyft, Adobe, Tide, Square, and more. Noah has been a part of the E&M community in Oakland for almost a decade and continues to learn as much as she can about psychological safety, power dynamics, consent best practices, and restorative justice, which are all things, of course, if you're listening, you know that I love. Today, Noah is going to bring insights from their personal journey along with practical advice for those looking to strengthen their own non-monogamous communities or simply understand this way of life a little bit better. We're going to discuss the importance of communication, respect, and consent as pillars of our beautiful non-monogamous community. So even if you're not very well-versed in the non-monogamy community, or if you're just curious about what it entails, this is a conversation that you're absolutely going to love and enjoy. So ride along with us on this journey of self-discovery with me and Noah on the Pineapple Express podcast. So before we dive into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk about the incredible support that I receive from all of my sponsors. As you all know, creating this podcast is a passion of mine, but it's also an endeavor that requires a lot of time and effort and resources to keep this show alive so that I can give you guys the content that you deserve on a weekly basis. So thank you to my sponsors so that we're able to focus on, you know, this educational content. And I love that they help cover the costs associated with hosting services, equipment upgrades, and sometimes fueling my coffee addiction to keep my creative juices flowing. I'm kind of kidding there, but not really. But more than just financial support, our sponsors are companies and brands that I truly believe in. They offer products and services that I think that you guys, my very valued listeners, can benefit from. And I would never endorse something that I didn't truly believe in myself. So when you hear me mention our sponsors, know that these shout outs aren't just a formality. They're a testament to the effort that we bring to this show and the ears of this episode and all of my episodes. So by supporting them, and you're supporting us and you're supporting this podcast in a real way. And this is so that we're able to have these conversations, share stories, and of course, build community. So stay tuned for our sponsor segment right now. And, you know, check out all these unique promo codes, discounts, and offers that they've provided exclusively for you guys. It's a win-win. You get a great deal and you're also directly contributing to the longevity of my podcast. So as always, thank you guys for listening and a massive thank you to all of my sponsors. Introducing the Sultry Vixen, your one-stop shop for all your sex work and rave wear needs. Whether you're hitting the pole or the festival scene, the Sultry Vixen has got you covered. From dance shoes to box outfits, custom dance outfits, and lingerie to vibrant festival outfits, they've got the perfect gear to make you shine. Stand out with their neon rave accessories and all of their costumes that will take your festival experience to the next level. And they also carry men's and plus sizes. They are a family-owned and operated ravewear slash dancewear shop located in Riverside, California. The quickest way to reach them is directly through their Instagram. Visit thesultryvixen.com today for the hottest trends in dance and rave fashion. Dance more and glow more with the Sultry Vixen. Hey, Upside Down Pineapple people. Join the millions of couples enjoying amazing sex with Promescent. I personally love their variety of products they offer, and their aloe-based lube is the only lube I've ever used that doesn't throw off my pH. Brad loves their delay spray, which is clinically proven to help men last longer in bed. Their products have a 60-day money-back guarantee and free shipping on orders in the U.S. over $10. Their shipping is discreet and private, which is perfect for us in the swinger lifestyle. Make sure that you go to www.promescent.com/Kylie for all your discreet sexual health needs. My link is in the show notes. Promescent helps you live your best upside down pineapple life. Hey there, Pineapple Expressers. Are you seeking a splash of excitement in your dating life? Well, get ready for triple, quadruple, or even an orgy of fun with 3Fun, the leading dating app for open-minded singles and couples. Are you interested in exploring the swinger or polyamorous relationships? Maybe you're a couple looking to add some variety to the bedroom. Whatever your preference, 3Fun is designed to connect you with like-minded individuals who embrace open relationships in all forms. Dip your toes into the dating pool where judgment is left at the door and freedom of expression is the norm. With 3Fun, you'll discover a community that values consent, respect, and the pursuit of pleasure in all forms. As a millennial swinger, I love how user-friendly 3Fun is, and signing up is easy and discreet. You can customize your profile, set your preferences, and when you're ready to embark on your journey filled with thrills and connections, start sharing with other individuals, all in one simple swipe. Safety is the top priority for 3Fun. With private photo albums and the latest security features, your personal information stays just that, personal. You're in control of your experience at all times. So why wait for excitement to find you? Download 3Fun today. There's a link in my show notes and join the largest community where fantasies come alive. 3Fun, let your curiosity roam free, and who knows, you might just find that trio or that couple of chemistry you've been searching for.
Ah, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. We posted on our Instagram app, like, we're the best podcasters. And the amount of time that this podcast came through was like incredible. I got so many DMs being like, you gotta meet Kylie. You might gotta meet Kylie. So I'll just say that. Well, I guess like that's my introduction. I associate myself as like groupie archetype. And I, even though, you know, I love organizing and building community and hosting parties and doing coaching and all that, and I've been an executive in tech and now I'm the CEO of Plura. But the truth is where I shine is really being people's groupie and actually helping platform other people, right? So I feel so lucky that I get to do it now in my day-to-day, kind of like being like, who are the podcasters we need to know about? And then like, being able to spread the word to everyone about it, or who is the sex educators that, you know, everyone should hear about. And I like pull people in. So yeah, I would say groupie archetype, love uplifting people. And then I love building community. Like, you know, we kind of spoke about it in the pre-meeting when we spoke, but for me, non-monogamy was just the way that community came to life for me. Like what I really was looking for was friends and a place that I would walk in and people would be like, no, because I felt really alone in life. You know, I had my second kid in 2015, 2018. And I was like, oh, I have two kids. I'm surrounded by thousands of business school friends. I'm surrounded by thousands of coworkers at Lyft. And yet I feel extremely, extremely alone. So for me, I went on this path to find belonging. And what I found is non-monogamy as the way to exercise my belonging in some way. And I think that's part of it, right? That we are, it's more for me and for so many people, it's really about finding, well, you know, people say like-minded people. I'm like, what's a new term for like-minded people? But it's like, we might all exercise our self-expression differently, but we all believe in consent. We all believe in community care. We all believe in taking responsibility for your actions. And I really feel that that is mostly the umbrella. And then you can be monogamous. You can be poly and find your sex parties there. You can be kink and go find your rope workshops there. You can be into dance and go to ecstatic dance. So it's really about like the people and the values that we share instead of how we, you know, what jobs we have or how we decide to spend our time. Yeah. I guess I have a question for you in that, right? Because like I've been on my non-monogamous journey for, you know, like before I was I've been married for probably 15 years, and we went through like these stages, right? Like we were first monogamish, and I think we used to go to play parties and actually just play with each other, and then we became more like swingers, and then we became poly. And now I think we're like relationship anarchists. Like there are just like so many stages in growth and development. But what I'm really curious is how does community come to life in the swinging world? Because, you know, for me, part of that when I started going to swinger events, I was still not like sexually open. Like we're not sexually open. And I think part of like my always worry was like, how do I belong here? How do I find like the friends, right? Like, because so much of, I think of my journey was like, how do I find the friends? How do I find like the second layer connections that I can like party and like laugh with and create art with? And yeah, I'm curious to just like, what are the best ways to like actually find community? Is it actually in the parties or is it outside of the parties? Yeah, and I think you touched totally, and you touched on something so important, right? Which is the depth and the length that it takes. Like, there is investment. I j was just talking to you about William Winters from Bonobo Network, and every opening circle, William talks about, like, it actually takes time. Like, you think that we do an opening circle and all these people are playing with each other within 5 minutes, but you don't know that they've been in like four parties together before, and they've been chatting on the community chat, and they went for a hike together. So like that, what I wanna, I think in today's world, which is all about, it's like swiping really fast and like getting to the meeting or getting to the hookup as much as possible. I'm like, no, this actually takes time. Like, there's human beings on the other side, and connection takes time. So I really appreciate you kind of speaking to that, to the fact that you have to really invest in a relationship and invest in a community until you get to the moment that you're actually able to play or whatever that decision, like, that's not the end goal, right? In some way. So I think that's. Yeah, 100%. And then how do we create spaces that also, I don't know, hold the container for people who get disappointed, right? Because, not like, again, I think William or Misha, one of the Bonobo, whatever, they're saying the sex parties can bring up all the shit that came up, like high school shit, all the high school shit that you had. You're like back in there, like, do I belong? Am I chosen? Like, what is, like, all of that stuff, right? And it's like, how do we create then containers for people to actually feel held in it? And then I think even more, and that's really my mission with Plura, is like, how do I allow people to see the value of connection, period? Not just like, oh, did you have sex in the party? You have your attachment figure relationship. Like, forget that. Did you go out to like a poly happy hour, and did you talk to someone who was really interesting? Like, that's also a win, and it's like way better than sitting on your sofa and watching Netflix. I think like there's some way that I think when for all of us that are building community, creating and normalizing, like, platonic relationships that are sweet and ephemeral, and and slow build up, slow burn. Yeah. Such a it's so interesting, right? Because I think change is I was just reflecting on when we got married, and my husband was like, change is like the thing that is like constant, right? Like we're gonna change, and we'll have to like adjust with changing. And I even touched on it, right? Like a few minutes ago, but like our path around from like monogamish to swinging to hierarchical, it, then we were like, we would only play with people at play parties. Then we would only go on like dates with people, but it was friends with benefits. Then we would become like, and I think part of it is like just, I'm in this like year of surrender of like realizing like I can't control so much of my life. And I think my relationship, the way I would currently define my relationship, is surrender or like relationship anarchy. And yeah, and so I'm married to my husband. We share kids, and I call us like friends with liabilities, which he does not like this term, but and he has a girlfriend. I have multiple partners, and yeah, and we really are like a lot more individuating right now. Like we're going through this, like I feel like I'm building a relationship with myself. I think is like the I was just talking to my therapist, like I feel like I am building. I'm like, oh, I haven't been like listening to myself, listening to my needs, listening to my boundaries. I haven't like invested in self-care and taking the time to do exercise or just sit and read or like. So I think so much of currently in my relationship is like I have partners that are more lovers, that but a lot of what my heart is doing is really healing and building with myself. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, no, tell me about it. Yeah. There was just a book called that I heard Ezra Klein's interview with the author. It's called The Other Significant Other. is about the importance of platonic friendships. And yeah, for me, so much of non-monogamy, the best parts about it is being able to like express in always with my friends, right? Like for me, it's about friendship and about, yeah, I could be playful and sexy with my friends, but it's still like what I came in with. And the desire was really about friendship and connection and expression. And you touched on this, you kind of mentioned like socialized as women and like this whole kind of self-discovery work that I think it happens in. You know, I think it's like it happens with non-monogamy, but the truth is it happens as you age, right? And like yesterday I was talking to another person and they're like, oh my God, I'm like 29. I'm like the end of my life. You know, I'm like, this is it. Like 30 is the end. And I'm like, this is the lie that society has told us. They told us like 20s is your last decade of, you know, being, having fun, finding people, feeling belonging. And then you're going to find a husband, find a job when you're 30 and it's going to be like flat. That's it. This is what you got. And I'm like, that's a big lie that your parents like in society told you about. Like there is so much drama, adventure, joy, self-expression that is ahead of you. And I think so many of us, if we don't do the work in our 30s to actually find community and find self-expression and find the joy, we hit 40 and then we're like, oh, I don't want this life anymore, right? Like that's why midlife crisis is midlife crisis, because moment of being like, oh, I actually have at least 20 more years of being an adult and like an active job, you know, holding a sexual adult. Like I don't want to just keep on doing what I've been doing. And so I think so much of, I think not in non-monogamy allows us, but so much of self-discovery and growing up is about starting to speak your truth, starting to speak your boundaries and get into a place where you're more truthful. Yeah, totally. Like you were talking about that. You know, I had like my fall of rage, which is like the first time I felt like angry about my situation. Then I feel like I had like my speak your desire, like moment. Then I'm like feeling like now I'm in this like surrender year. Like I think so much of it is continuing, you know, continuing to be committed to speaking up, but then like society and the world keeps like closing you down. And then you're like, wait, 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 again. I wanted, and that's how I even got the Bloom, Plura, formerly known as Bloom, a job is, you know, I worked in tech for 15 years and really got promoted and did all like the cool companies. And I really felt like I didn't belong. Like I was like, wow, my CEOs like don't understand exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not sure that I'm making like a significant business impact. And I felt like a pretty big failure, but I was a non-monogamous, you know, community building persona. And I was like, I know that I'm not a total failure because I know that there is 70 people that if I tell them that I'm hosting a party, they're going to send me $100. They don't even know what the theme is. They're just like, yes, whatever you're doing will come. And I was like, I am holding that as the grain of truth that there is more to my value and identity than my job that feels completely wrong. And I'm committed to like trying to find something that feels like that at work, right? So I just was like, I was unemployed for 7 months. And I was like, just like, no, I'm just gonna figure out like what I care about and find companies that I care about. And I knew Luna, who is the founder of Bloom, and I just knew the work that she was doing. And I was like, hey, are you hiring for your team? And she was like, yeah, I think you're the next CEO. And she, yeah. And I'm like feeling so grateful that I get to do this as my job. I love that. What would be like, I'll just say, beyond your coaching that you do, which is incredible, you also do the same thing at scale, right? You do it in, you join organizations and help or get, bring in community into organizations and help organization understand audiences. And you do so much on social media to actually get to like hundreds of thousands of people. Like, so yes, your impact is, I'm curious if you could like summarize like the one biggest message that you tell people, like if you're like, it all comes back to this one message that I want people to like know when you're doing your a coaching, relationship and intimacy coaching. What is like the, do you have something like that that you think? Do you do that as parties as well? Do you connect people? Yeah, such a good question. It's interesting, you know, I think what has been so I when I started, you know, I remember going to these play parties. And actually, I didn't want to play with people. I was like, not, it wasn't, it for me, it was like, oh, can I, part of it was like my partner was pushing for it. And I was like, oh, like I like the partying. Like I like the dancing. I like it, but I wasn't really ready yet to like date people or play with other people. And I used to go to these parties, but I really didn't meet anyone at this point. Like I would go and then I would like leave and I would like be like, did I actually meet anyone? Like I still felt like I didn't find people. And for me then I remember being like, okay, I'm gonna make these people my community. Like I decided, I was like, I feel like there's something there and I'm gonna just like try and make it myself instead of waiting for it to come to me. And I came to the host of the parties and I was like, I'm gonna create a kissing booth at your party. Cause I was like, I don't wanna play with people and I don't wanna just stand behind around the snack table. I wanna like I want my personality to come through and I wasn't sure how to do it. So I was like, I'm gonna create a kissing booth. And it was a New Year's Eve party and I created this like kissing booth and there was like, you would roll the die and it would tell you whether to do the almost kiss or the grandma kiss. And it just facilitated these connections. And I remember after that party, like three people friended me on Facebook and I was like, it's working. I'm building community. And then like, I just kept on showing up. I kept on showing up and like, I always tell people go volunteer. Like volunteering is such an amazing way to find people and build community. So I volunteered and met people this way. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll host the tea lounge. And I just kept on showing up. And after 6 months, which is seems like nothing, but also is a lot of time to invest. I remember walking into this Burning Man camp and like 20 people ran to me and they're like, Noah's here. And I remember like being like, oh, wow. Yes. Like I belong. I like people see the joy, like the magic in me. People, you know, see that, you know, want me to succeed. Like it's so, you know, I went through this name change now for Plura. Like I'm tapping I call them my particule. I'm like, what do you think about this name? And they're all giving me feedback. Like, for me, a community is the people that help you walk the path of life, right? And for me, you know, what we do is we sleep with each other and we talk about sex and we talk about relationship and we talk about activism. That's just like the wrapper of what we share in common, but it's really about belonging and being seen and someone cheering you on when you do life. Yeah. And you kind of touch on representation, right? That when you it's hard when you're not, you know, when you're not the main identity that is like in the mainstream and the core, right? It's hard to like explain how you just don't, when you can't see something, you don't know that it's a possibility for you. I think about it in the business world a lot, right? That I have friends that grew up in business consulting and all the partners were men. And they're like, oh, I didn't even, this was my first job. I didn't even think that I could do it because I didn't see it. Like, of course I knew I was a badass, you know, person, but there's a way that I couldn't even imagine that that's a possibility because I didn't see it. So I think representation is so important, even though we create safe and welcoming places. Do we actually make them safe enough for people to feel like they belong there? Oh, yes, only if we make sure that there is actual representation of the people that we invite. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm hopeful and excited about thinking that what, used to happen with a gay movement in the 90s or 80s, you know, 60s, whenever, like, you know, throughout until the 2000s, and how it has now become mainstream and like common for people to like talk about it, common for people to be curious about it. Like the same thing will happen for relationship, queering relationships, right? That in the future, it would just make sense to like ask people what their relationship in dynamic is right now. And in the future, people will just come in and out of different relationship styles and depending on where they are. So, you know, my future probably in like 20 years or maybe even 10 years, hopefully, that it's just going to be a lot more accepted that this is just a way to that people like identify in that way. Yeah. And then I hope that there's going to be a lot more like entry level stuff. Like, I think part of what, and that's part of the things that I'm trying to build with Plura is like, okay, yeah, of course there's like, you can even what you're talking about your community, like, of course there's so many parties and there's so many workshops and there's so many, like, you can learn how to choke person or how to like pierce them. And like, there's like, you can go so deep and there are so many people that go so deep. And I'm like, okay, but what about like the 80% of the people that are walking into this and like their experiences? Like, I haven't seen someone naked different than me and my partner for the last 20 years. Like, there's so much welcoming that we need to do. So I'm really excited about building this like entry level experience and curating more of those, even if they're not great businesses. I'm like, I like the idea of like, what do we do? We do these like speed connecting events, which like a speed friending event. And yeah, it's like, you know, obviously it's not a good business. It's just $20 and come to a bar, but it's amazing because it actually welcomes people in the community. So I think communities like what you do with people that are like non-sexual, like all these are ways to actually allow people to come in and to bridge the what was like their life before and what they want their life to be after.
Right.
I know, well, but you're touching on it. This is like so important, I think, because the people are moving faster than the systems, right? It's like you still, I was just listening to an interview with Lily Lamboy, and they were talking about the workplace. Like, you, if you talk, tell people, like, you, people still don't feel safe in their workplace to tell, say that they're not monogamous. Like, I didn't. And so I think like, systems, the workplace, like the people who actually still manage so many of the environments that we're in are still older generation, and they still see it as taboo, different, you know, about sex. So I do think that it's like really fascinating to see how the people are moving, and yet the systems that we're in are still behind. And it's even so much more intense. Like, you operate on Instagram, like, because Instagram, you know, serves all these companies that are old, you know, led by older people and are older school and have a very low risk tolerance and are sometimes conservative. They don't want their ads being next to someone talking about sexual stuff. So because of it, we can't talk about sexual health. We can't talk about relating. We can't talk about, like, it's just like sexual, like female sexuality. Like, of course we can't talk about like sexual expression, but we can't even talk about topics that are associated with it. So I think I'm also so sad about like how we are evolving as like a community and society, and yet how much our systems are so behind and still limiting. That's so fascinating that you said that. Yeah, it's like interesting, right? Because this is a whole other world than some of like my world, but it's so true, right? Like even within these systems, right? Like we need, I think what's going to happen if in the future, we'll have more diversity of places to go, organizers to attend their events, because this is going to be more mainstream and more common and stuff like that. And then, yeah, you'll still have people that are following traditional conservative kind of rules in the sex positive space. And you'll have people that do completely different. And hopefully everyone can find their own community and feel good in it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I totally agree. I think part of it is like, it's really about being open to change, right? It's like about like, no, this is working. We don't want to open it, right? It's like the opposite of the openness that you're looking for, which is like, things are shifting and we need to like continuously be open to shifting with them. And do you know the concept of brave space versus safe space. There is a really, I think it's because when I was trying to talk, when I joined Plura, I was like, okay, how do I think about safety and how do I think about consent and how do I think about reporting? And one of the really interesting concepts is a brave space versus safe space, because safe space is all about creating safety and you try to remove the most amount of potential things that could harm someone. So you're like, but in some way you're creating less opportunity for like growth, exploration, because in some way you're like prioritizing safety. In brave spaces, the idea of like, how do we create spaces that people could be brave to speak up, feel brave to try things, feel brave to repair. So the whole tool, all of the toolbox that you have is really different. And it's about communication. It's about speaking up. It's about accountability. It's about repair. It's about creating more spaces, space in the communication to hear a yes or a no, which is like very, very different than I think if you just prioritize safety. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. I have an 8-year-old, and the one thing that it, like I think about it encapsulated all is if she, let's say, hurts her brother or spills something, or and I was like, go check in with him, and she's like, but I didn't do it on purpose, and I'm like, it doesn't matter that you didn't do it on purpose. It's like about how you show up when you hurt someone. It's about repair. And she's like, I didn't do it on purpose. I'm not gonna like, and I'm like, this is society, you know, like this is like, it's not just society. It's also human tendency probably, but this is like the things that I want, like what I want for society and for us building safer communities is the ability to actually be with the pain that we create with other people and repair and actually do more of the communication. Because yeah, even if you did say yes, but then you change your mind after. I want there to be a space that you can be like, ouch, that really actually hurt me. And I didn't want that actually. And the other person to be not like, oh, but you didn't tell it in the moment. Then it's like not my problem. And to me like, wow, that I'm so sorry that happened to you. Like, how can I repair? What can we do? Like, that's what I want for the future of society, non-monogamy, my app, is for us to actually welcome, like stay in connection and welcome conversations that are difficult so we can build from it and stay together. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I don't know if yesterday I spoke with Rich from the Poly podcast, and they said if you're not embarrassed by your past behaviors, then you're like you haven't grown. And you're like, I am so I try to look back at my embarrassing moments and like messed up, being like, wow, I really have grown since then, and that's a good sign. So yeah, it's so hard though when because. You know, we are in a Instagram, everything is perfect kind of world. And I want to be perfect too. You know, I had this like big, you know, I heard a lot of people on the app one time because I spoke in a way that was like not correct and not respectful. And I was so embarrassed by it. And I was like, I know I believe in repair and this is an amazing opportunity to show up and apologize. And yet I just want other people to do it. I want to be perfect like all the time for everyone. And so yeah, I agree with you. Like it's so powerful to be able to take accountability and learn and actually do it in public because I think that that helps other people. And yet it's so painful for me. And that's why I think it's, yeah, everything you said, yes. No, and that's why I think like so much of it is like actually being in practice mode and actually being in, you were talking about like, oh, you called someone, you know, my partner called someone else baby, and that really made me feel. And I was like, I could imagine the spiral that could happen, right? Being like, I can't believe it. You're moving away from me. Like that's the level of like challenge that could be part of it. And you know, part of what I'm doing when I joined Plura is like I'm like, okay, we need to build skills because when people hurt other people on the app, it's really hard to course correct after, you know, but I'm like, if we can we do more work on building the skills, right? Because maybe we can avoid some of the hurt ahead of time. So we do a monthly free consent workshop to everyone in the community. You can just join in whenever you want, and the one that's happening in a few days. But it's about nonviolent communication. So I was like, yeah, like how do we teach the skills of actually feeling into yourself, like what did I actually feel? What are my needs? How do I say it in the way that it can land in the other person, actually move us forward instead of creating more rupture? I have like it's like I have so many things that I want. It's like that's so exciting because I have so many things. But I part of me is like I anchor myself in the goal, which is how do I allow people to feel more connection in the easiest way possible, right? Because so, can we create more? We have chats, but can we create chats that facilitate more conversation? Can we create a lightweight event or support groups that allow people to feel connected? Like even if you don't find, because that's the hard part about dating apps. Like if you swipe for hours and you don't like, maybe you find like two people. Like the match rate is so low. It's like, under 5%, I think, for most dating apps. It's like it, and then that's just the match. I'm not even talking about like how many people do you actually follow up with you on the thread, and how many people do you actually go on a date with. So I'm like, it's such a low rate. And what I want is I want a much higher rate of success of feeling connection. So like I'm just for me, I continually think about like which other events should be on Bloom and how do I make it really easy for people to find them. Which software do we need to build to allow you to feel connected like every time you join the app to another person? So like so much of those things is what I really want to do. And if I could like put like in bold letters like what I want people to like get from the world by me communicating with them is like there is people out there that want to see you. Like I know that it doesn't feel like that in social media and it doesn't feel like that on dating apps, but there's like hundreds of people every night going out to workshops, to happy hours. They're looking to meet other people and connect with them. Like you just have to like leave the house and go there and you will see them. So I just like want more people to believe in that because I think that once they do, like everything will like open up. Like scarcity will go away, scarcity mindset, connection will happen. Like there's so much more that can happen if people believe that and experience connection. Yeah, I'd say, yeah, just like surrender to the path. Like there is a path for you that you will feel amazing at. Just like keep putting your finger on the path and allow it to unfold, and you'll find it. Like there's amazing people and communities and workshops and events to have. Like just go and find it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So if you want to download the app, it's heyplura.com. And we're also on Hey Plura on social media. And yeah, I'm also on Instagram if you wanna follow me a little bit. Yeah, I write a weekly, I have to move it off of our platform, but I write like a weekly editorial email about what's happening, like six positive communities. So hopefully I'll have that link on my Instagram soon. There's so much stuff to while you get that, right? Yeah. Oh. I love imagining you overseeing like multiple interns and telling them to do like painful nitty-gritty stuff. 100%. I hope that this someone will hear this podcast. You should create from this, and I hope someone will hear and be like, yeah. Thank you so much.